Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Tanya Hathaway on Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told on Marty Oakley's CS Radio Network, coming to you almost every Sunday night at 8 o'clock Central Time. And tonight we're having a 60-minute show, kind of reigniting what this is all really about and asking viewers, listeners, in this case, listeners, to call on in with any thoughts and questions. I'm going to bring up some talking points in particular, as you might have seen in the promotion, that is what's going on with our Constitution versus what is happening with the courts, that huge contradiction there. They are practicing contractual law as opposed to constitutional law. And if we submit ourselves to it, then we find ourselves in a sinking black hole if you're in the wrong area of where there is a lot of corruption taking place. In any event, whether there is or not, our courts have been taken over by contractual law, and our Constitution has not been upheld as a result of the hijacking of our lawful system as we once knew it. Okay, that's not just in Oklahoma. All right, we're going to talk about the uncovering of the missing 13th Amendment that stated no lawyers allowed in public office. What happened to that missing 13th Amendment? Well, there is actually an author that has come up with their opinion on that, and I'll be sharing that with you, as well as May 14th, there's an article about a covert plot to alter the Constitution that conspires to subvert the American public uncovered. Well, actually, forgive me, that's exactly what I'm talking about, the 13th Amendment, okay? So we'll be discussing many different things that are taking place in Oklahoma, as well as around our country, and as well, a bill has passed the Senate, and it's heading to the House in Oklahoma. It's Senate Bill 252, I believe it is, put in by Roger Thompson, and it actually passed the Senate 30-12. So what this essentially means is that this bill was proposed to make sure that not all that have been charged with certain charges have to go to jail and are detained before there is a trial. I can't tell you how many people that have been on the show with us and that I'm aware of that have actually not even been given their formal charges and have been kept in jail and even prison for ungodly amounts of time and unlawfully, months, not even allowing these victims to speak up in court, to constantly changing the court dates, because how are they going to save face? This is not an isolated problem. They're trying to figure out how to cover their butts, how to get rid of the problem, and it's a very scary proposition for anybody speaking up. To speak up about because of it, because this is an incessant problem that we are faced with in Oklahoma and often many places throughout our country. I'm not an attorney. I am here to advocate for the truth. I am here as a public speaker. I am here as a talk show radio host, an activist, a darn truth teller that has set some plans in motion. And I would like to talk a little bit more about that too, and that how hard it is for people that have been impacted by the corruption and the devastation that are in it day in and day out. And I can say I've taken myself out of it as far as a victim goes. So I work with victims now. I've taken myself out of it, and I can see how hard it was for me from the outside looking in. And I know how hard it is for others that are dealing with it and keeping their eye on the ball, because so many have been suffocated and everybody wants their voice to be heard. And that's important that your voices are heard. That's what we're here for. But as far as the plans go, the well-formulated, distinct, succinct plan has to be something that is consistent, that is faithful, that is correct to the best of our knowledge and ability, and that contains a very large group message. And there must be consistency involved. And so what I've been doing is working with people on a weekly basis and helping them get their story told through affidavits and that are going to go forward through complaints and in a swift manner, relatively within a similar period of time, so that it is taken notice of. But it's got to be done right, people. It has got to be done right. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but I am certainly an advocate. And there are many resources out there that have, you look at Chris Hallett, you look at Kirk Pendergrass, you look at John Gentry. John Gentry, unfortunately, the remonstrances have been turned down in Oklahoma. The remonstrances in Tennessee have been turned down. Many are being turned down. So it doesn't mean you stop there. It does not mean you stop there, but it means that you take the path of least resistance and you work on that constitutional law where there is not resistance. In the meantime, you prepare yourself. You prepare yourself to be successful. And that's exactly what I'm doing with the people that we're working with. And it doesn't happen overnight. This all didn't happen overnight, but there should be a solution, there should be a remedy, and I believe in taking the path that others are not necessarily taking. I'm not going to keep beating the same old, I'm not going to say it because I can't stand that saying, but you know what I mean? I'm not going to keep on taking a path that many are trying to take. Do not try to trump citations by using law that is through the contractual court, where they're citing cases. As soon as you do that, as opposed to stand up for your constitutional rights, you are succumbing to being trumped with other law. So there's a spiral of bad law being created through corrupt courts, through negligence, through bad decisions, through errors. Okay, maybe through errors. I would say that's the exception to the rule, given what we are discussing and what we all really do know we're up against. So who's listening? Who's excited about talking about this? Who has an opinion to give on any of the subjects that we've talked about? And we can dive into this some more. A lot of information that I'm pulling into this show tonight is really information that I've seen as I've been sitting back kind of quiet over the last month or two. I've been more quiet than not, and I've been engaged with some personal endeavors that, have simmered down now, so I can bounce right back in here a bit stronger than my presence has been. But it's very important to remember that there needs to be a succinct flow and a decision in what you want to do and how you want to do it, not bouncing around from one thing to another thing to another thing. So I've been sitting back and I'm seeing a lot of posts that are coming out. I see an awful lot of great people, advocates, very strong, very much on their mission, very hurt by what they're dealing with. People that have lost their children, their family members, their homes, people that have, you know, are wrongfully convicted, people who have lost, you know, their freedom, and families that are sitting back and suffering, people that are in jail, wrongfully jailed, people that are, there's just so much that all of us, not just Oklahomans, can relate to, where they've siphoned your every last dime. And they want to believe that that's, if you haven't cracked already, eventually you will crack. Well, I think it's important not to be crackable. I think it's important to make a decision with what you want to do and how you want to do it, and figure out what direction that is, and then be succinct. You can contact me to actually make an appointment, and we will sit down together over the phone, face to face, and we'll spend several hours. And I'm doing one a week. I've been doing one a week, and I'll continue with doing more than that now that my time has settled in a little bit. So I just want to, again, let you know I'm not a lawyer. I'm here to, you know, to get to the bottom of this so we can have a show about the successes of what went right rather than the tragedies that continue to go along. For those non-believers out there, as Rooney Lazuli said, if you want to see the truth, you must be brave enough to look. If you want to see the truth, you must be brave enough to look. Sometimes that means being humbled. Sometimes that means admitting a mistake. Sometimes that means putting blinders on. Sometimes that means stop the chattering monkeys from our heads. If you want to see the truth, you must be brave enough to look. Okay. So, hi, Mom, in New Hampshire. I appreciate you. I love you. I know my boys got there today, and there's a bunch of cousins there together, and so everybody's probably a little bit sun, sweat, burnt from working on the farm, and I can't wait to see you. And now I'm going to move on to the show, but first, we cannot forget the fact that we do have a whistleblower summit coming up. So Tanya Talks is presented in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit taking place July 29th, 30th, and 31st in Washington, D.C. Look it up. It's invaluable, absolutely invaluable. And yes, Tina Gortz, that is a great quote. So where would we like to start? I heard we have a couple of people on right now. So Marty, who's there? Wanting to talk about some of this, and we'll determine which subject we'll start with.
You got James Treat on.
Hi, James.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
How are things going over there in Calvin, Oklahoma? So to the listeners, James Treat has been a trailblazer over in Calvin, Oklahoma, who has exposed horrific municipal and even county, I'll leave that question mark there for you to reply about, corruption. And he's been working on this for a couple of years. He has suffered the pains of retaliation with death threats, with death threats notes, like KKK type of notes being left for him, you leave or else, with his truck right in front of where he sleeps within, I don't know, 10 yards, I think is what you wound up telling me, within where you sleep, where his truck was blown up. It was torched. And there was a big explosion that shook the town, a little town of Oklahoma, where he has been targeted through unfit and non-credential chiefs of police and many others that have ruled the roost in the good old boys club, as they claim it to be, in Calvin, Oklahoma. Well, some people thought James Treat was just a troublemaker and that he just needed to mind his own business. Well, little did they know, And now many people do know that as things continue to be exposed, and he did it right here on this show and continues to on his Facebook page and his website, calvininfo.com and Calvin Info on Facebook, that all that James was trying to do was preserve the rights of himself, yes, but as well other citizens that have been raked over the coals financially and in other ways in that town of Calvin, Oklahoma. So, James, why don't you give us an update with what's going on, and then let's talk a little bit about our Constitution.
Okay, let me just start. Timothy 2, verse 4, just a summation of that. It just says, for there is going to come a time when people won't listen to the truth, but will go around looking for teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear. They won't listen to what the Bible says, but will blindly follow their own misguided ideas. That so fits so many places that you have the pretentious people that are the do-gooders in town, i.e. Calvin, Oklahoma. They have hired a municipal court judge to tell them what they want to hear and bends the law to fit what they want. They have hired a police chief to do their dirty work so that they don't have to touch it to get what they want. If they don't like you, to run you out of town, or to financially try to fine you and run you out of town, or
and so why don't you tell our listeners why they wouldn't like you, okay? But before you get into that, please forgive me. Also, thank you to Stephen Burke, 89.9 KLRB in Stuart, Oklahoma, who does live stream our show on almost every Sunday night as well. So this radio show by Marty Oakley is very widespread, not only throughout the country, but we are saturating it in Oklahoma. So thank you very much, Steve Burke. And I know you recently, Steve, suffered from some damage given high winds, and you've had to recover from that. Steve is a not-for-profit because it's a Christian radio station, all right? And so because of that, we should, but we also need to make extra care and take extra care in our language and how we pose our feelings on this show for Marty's sake too, because she could be shut down, but for the Christian radio station. So we need to be able to express our feelings without using bad words. And I think most of us are really able to do that. So again, appreciate you, Stephen Burke. Thank you very much. Okay, so can you tell our listeners what is it that, why would they want to run you out of town? Many of us know, but just with a brief synopsis, as I shared, you started uncovering things. But now, why would there still be a problem going on all this time later?
Well, basically because you're exposing their dirty laundry, things that they had hid, the little secrets that they had among themselves. And they decided that I was no different than probably 50 other people before me that kind of disagreed with them. And they went outside the law to use their positions in the government to either shut your water off or tell you you can't do this or can't do that or won't provide you service. An attempt to
refuse to provide you records.
Fall in line like a good little soldier. Well, I started looking into all their misgivings as a town government when they started telling me or violating my civil rights as to what I could or couldn't do as a property owner and as a citizen of the town. Well, then that's when they didn't like their financials being exposed, which hadn't been recorded in like 8 years. They hadn't done your annuals for 8 years, but the financials we did find show that they showed $130-some-odd thousand loss, and voila, they just didn't do it the next year, and no one really said anything, so they didn't do it the next year, or the next year, or the next year. Well, out of all of that, we got together a citizens' petition, which they obviously didn't like, but it was done and door slammed before they could harass everyone not to sign it. And they did harass and question everyone in town who signed it.
But yes, they did. And they weren't supposed to know.
One of those players, and the morning period's over, but one of those actors was Robert Jones, which was the town supervisor. He is now deceased from about 2 to 3 weeks ago, but it is a fact.
Which I'm very sorry to hear that.
And I,
you know, I mean, you don't wish that
on
anybody, right? Even though he was the he was the face of the corruption, like he ruled the roost from his high chair, in essence.
But
it is
a fact. He was an actor in a public corruption investigation, and he was questioned or attempted to be questioned by the FBI. That is a fact. So
right.
He is no longer there, but there are still remnants, and now there's the move to try to get other family involved, so on and so forth. But we'll deal with that as it comes. But that's no different than 100 other little towns in Oklahoma, where one
right.
particular group of people have ran the government for them and their little cronies for years and years and years. And in this case, Linda Bennett, the town treasurer for 20-some-odd years, had just recently resigned a couple of months ago as well. Now, this actor has become deceased, and there is this flux of them being kind of lost, not knowing which way to go. They don't have a leader.
Right.
And they're still under
right.
the assumption and the presumption that this is all still going to go away. But it's just now really going to start because I've got a second wind. I've talked to you about my little sabbatical.
Right,
and
you too.
The reason that this hasn't been moving forward is because I have backed off a little bit, let things fall into place. There's a lot of things been going on that have been falling in place. But this also brings in actors in the district, prosecutors in the district. Judges in the district.
Mm-hmm.
We did remove the state representative out of the equation, but we've got a passive governor still that won't return phone calls.
Yes, we
do. In this scenario. So this next week and over the next 2 weeks, the phone calls will begin to start pushing the buttons on all this because we've got Rhonda Tweedle, the mayor, an actor in this, who violated civil rights by committing what's called her and Bill Nall issued citations without having the right certification to do so, and that's called a criminal sham, and that is a felony.
Mm-hmm.
And I intend to push the DA to follow through on those charges, as well as other charges that have been swept under the rug. The police chief who arrested and handcuffed and threw someone in jail when he wasn't even legally employed, and Cleet removed his badge and forced the town to fire him.
And Cleet, to our listeners, is the governing authority that actually will licenses, it trains, right, and licenses chief of police and peace officers and whatnot. So,
but these are the things that the county and the district want to just go away.
Mm-hmm.
They need to prosecute him for fraud, impersonating an officer, kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all legitimate charges.
And you also have a judge there that, and this is not the only time I've heard this in Oklahoma, you also have a judge there that is giving... that is acting as the prosecution.
He's prosecuting. He's bringing his own opinions into the courtroom. He's introducing his own law, his own evidence into the courtroom on behalf of the town.
Right.
Well,
right.
This is a fact.
And that's supposed to be, and these are things he's supposed to follow if you're in to the contractual law situation, if you're abiding by the statutes and the codes and the rules, and you're not going by the constitutional law right now, still a judge has a major conflict of interest if he is actually fighting the case, if he's arguing the case. as opposed to citing law based on the case. So he's allowed to have an opinion, but that's after you offer an opinion, but that's based on the law.
Right, but his opinions weren't based on the law. They were based on life circumstances.
Correct.
His life circumstances. But
right.
This is a licensed attorney acting as a municipal judge. His actions were reported to the district attorney. District attorney actually wrote a letter, said that he couldn't hear the case because the judge's wife, Irby's wife, Judge Irby's wife, worked as the ADA in Holdenville, so he had to refer it to the Oklahoma Attorney General's office. The Oklahoma
mm-hmm.
Attorney General's office then put it to the Pittsburgh County DA, District Attorney, to investigate. This is a fact. I have this in writing from the District Attorney. I have placed a call to the District Attorney in Pittsburgh County without a return phone call now for about 6 weeks. So that will be something else that I follow up on. But
mm-hmm.
in wrapping this up into a ball with kind of what you came to well ago, I still intend to reintroduce the constitutional law in Oklahoma as a mechanism to impeach this particular muni judge. But at the same time, I am going to go down the contractual law side because I am not a licensed attorney, but in my law school, I was told if it ain't right or it's flat sorry, there's a law, and there is. And in my case, in multiple cases, time after time after time, I've got contractual law that will work against them, not for them, in all the civil rights violations that they have went through and been supported by the district judge with as well. So I intend to use their own contractual law against them, but I intend to use the constitutional concept that you helped introduce or brought forth to me anyway as an impeachment tool for this municipal judge. Now
mm-hmm.
we'll see where that goes, but I think that's a correct usage from my understanding of that so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've been listening and I'm going back and I have documented, as you know, I can back up everything I'm saying with either photos, video, statues.
Oh, yes.
I've got it. Believe you me, I've got it. But
well, so let's just talk about this for a little bit now. So, you know, the difference between, you know, as many of us know and many don't, okay, and we discussed this a little bit with Chris Hallett when we were talking about the remonstrance, but many of us do know that, you know, we have been turned into a corporation. You know, our government, you know, we're part of a corporation. You look at our social security cards, you look at our birth certificates, everything is in uppercase. There's these numbers. So we all have a value to these courts, to social security, to everything. Now, you know, many of us have no issues with being law-abiding citizens and, you know, doing the right thing. You know, we can leave this up to reasonable interpretation, correct? You know, if somebody owes you money, you're going to go to small claims court and you're going to prove, you know, that somebody owes you money, and then hopefully, you know, that problem can be resolved. But we also know that, you know, family court is the most profitable court in the country, and it is a wrecking ball, and many people have referred to it as kangaroo court. Well, the fact is it is you know, far too often than not, and this is where, you know, if we're going into a forum where you're supposed to have your civil and your human rights, you know, due process acknowledged and allowed, and you're not, then we're dealing with basically commercial jurisdiction, Admiralty Maritime. So, you know, we go from a policy officer, a police officer, right, versus a peace officer, which is a constable, okay? Now, Admiralty Maritime, which is commercial jurisdiction, versus common law, okay, now I'm going on either side of the fence here, which is the people's jurisdiction. We're talking about our Constitution. Now we go back to the corporate law, which is the law of the sea, okay? And all of these have many caveats, that we can get into hour-long conversations for each of them. But regarding our constitutional law, it is the law of the land, not the law of the sea. Now, the corporate law is an incorporated office, all right? Using our constitution, following our constitution, we have a non-incorporated office, okay? Using corporate law, because we are our government, our courts, you know, we're all run again it's been made into a corporation. Maybe not at the time that our parents were born, but we have been since, okay? Again, this is proven fact. Look it up, folks. Corporate powers, contractual, subject to consent. So that means that you can consent to that corporate law, to those statutes, to those really bad citations and case law that people are using and building additional case law off of it to make something go right or make something go wrong, okay? Versus our constitutional law that has constabulary powers, which is constitutional, delegated by the people, okay? Now, you know, we've got the private contractor, this is in our corporate law, in our corporate world here, with no public oath of office and bond, okay? But a public servant with a public oath of office and a bond. So the public servant, those that serve the public, they are our servants, okay? There is an agreement. There is a public oath of office and a bond. In contractual law, an officer breaching de jure public oath is in dishonor. Officer upholding de jure public oath is in honor. So this is what we want, what is honorable, what is right, what is constitutional. Then we go back to the other side of of this content, and we've got, again, in the capacity of being a corporation, private capacity, full commercial liability. In the public capacity, there is limited liability. Okay, I'll wrap this up, but law enforcement officer versus peace officer, a constable. Okay? And we've got the collecting revenue, performance, comfort, commerce, enforcing statutory contracts, okay? Once again, now you're in that court of law. You're in the kangaroo court. You're in a court that has been perverted by the railroading of our Constitution, okay, versus keeping the peace, upholding justice, serving, and protecting people of the corporation, by the corporation, for the corporation, versus of the people, by the people, for the people. This last one here. And thank you to my friend Largus Brock for bringing this to my attention. The officer must establish that you are acting in the role of an artificial legal person, which is consent to joinder in order to exercise jurisdiction over you. So, okay, let's give an example. Okay, and we'll just make it simple, okay, and it doesn't mean that you want to be contrary or ornery or you want to cause a problem, but an officer just pulls you over and you see no reason why he could have pulled you over. You're doing everything, you know, and you could be in you know, perfect compliance as far as you're concerned. An officer comes up to you and he says your driver's license and registration. Well, if you're following the constitutional law, the officer must have probable cause, an article of reasonable belief that you're committing a crime or causing harm to a living soul. Okay? So there's some differences there. And as Largus says, you have to comprehend the jurisdiction they are forcing you into. Now, I'll add on to that if you're letting them force you into that. So it is time to turn to legislators. to solve these problems, not to the back to the same courts that will get you every single time, because you are allowing that joinder. You're allowing, you're consenting for them to abuse you. I did that wrong for 4 years, people. I did that wrong for 4 years. I'm sitting here and I'm telling you it does not work. It's the exception to the rule that it works. What do you have to say about that, James?
Well, in this particular court, I was given hundreds of citations, and they were well on their way to kind of going down the path they're talking about, until I got the mayor on the stand, and then I got their police chief on the stand and did little to more than just embarrass the crap out of them. Well, then the mayor no longer comes to court, so I can't call her to the stand. The police chief stops writing me citations, and this is a conjoined effort between the council, the judge, the mayor, and the police chief. Let's just get him out of our little courtroom. So I received no further citations, except I started going back and listening to all the citations they had written everybody else, month after month after month, now for 3 months. Well, in the last court date, which was Monday week, they had written two citations for the entire month. The month prior, they had written one citation for the month prior. Now, people, they had standing room only in this municipal court from November through January with this corrupt police chief. Standing room only, hundreds of citations written.
Right.
Okay, they got their wings clipped here somewhere along the way as well. But not this court session, but month prior, this municipal judge, in context, and it is recorded, it just hasn't been published, but in context, in sentencing someone after listening to evidence and so on and so on, and the police chief being the prosecutor for the town, laugh, laugh, comes to the conclusion that, well, I can pretty well do whatever I want to. I'm the judge. I got this leeway. I got that. I can do what I want to. And that's not too far off the verbiage.
Right.
To this month saying, I don't have the latitude. I've got rules and statutes I have to follow, when he is now sentencing another person in this month, a complete 180. Do you think somebody's talked to him?
It sure sounds like it.
Especially when the district attorney from another county is supposed to be investigating him and won't return a phone call to me. Do you not think there's conversations going on? You got a police chief that's writing hundreds of citations, that's now writing three citations in 60 days,
right?
Working less than 25 hours a week and still drawing a 40-hour paycheck?
Right.
Okay, but that's enough about that specific situation. But in my particular case, you can see the ball's being moved. Now, there's no justice here.
It's being moved.
There's no justice here, but the ball's being moved. And they don't like it.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good, because people are paying attention.
They're not able to continue down the same old path. And that's a good change. So I do somewhat disagree with you, because I am using their quote-unquote statutory or contract law against them, along with public embarrassment. Or the fear of public embarrassment.
Well, and it's a shame that, you know, it has to take all that long. And that's why I said it's the exception to the rule. It still has not worked in your favor yet. You know, you still have not been made whole, and I hope that you are. And I know you're taking multiple steps.
Well, no, we haven't got to the retribution stage for all their violations.
No, we haven't got to that.
But that, you know, patience, I think, will prove out there. But
not everybody
pressure,
has that fortitude and ability to, you know,
I,
to Exactly.
I got you.
Yeah.
Because
and
this
so
came
we
to
need
bear
to
with
protect.
Me.
Right. You've gone through so much, and we need to protect our right because we know that it's wonderful when we see somebody, you know, get the justice that they deserve. But look at what it took out of you. Look at how long and hard, and thank you for being the warrior, as there are other warriors out there. No, but the problem is within our judicial system itself and the corruption that lies within it and the denying of our constitutional rights because they've designed their own system to, you know, make good decisions, mind you, sometimes, but also make the wrong decisions, and they can back it up with their own rules, with their own statutes and their own case law that they continue to put in the books. Well, we don't need that. We've got our Constitution. And that is my point.
When I was in front of Cleet the last time, and they were taking the complaint, and it was backed up with evidence, I was asked, what are you hoping to achieve here? Well, I said, I don't think this situation will last that much longer, but my goal in this particular case is that another community does not inherit this police chief who doesn't deserve to wear a badge. Look at his own criminal record.
Right. But,
and
but
in the way he circumvented
here.
The system. So that was my goal.
So that's,
if someone was
and that's
asking
right.
today what my goal was or is that formal charges are brought against the mayor, Bill Nall, the municipal judge, the police chief. That is my goal.
Right.
In their own
But this is it. This is just an individual case. So there are many other people that formal charges should be made against them. Many other people. And so you're addressing this, you know, by your case, which is fine and completely understandable, but we need to change the way things are happening.
And
in general, we need to set precedents, and we need to make sure that our legislators know what their job is, and that is to actually know the Constitution and to stand here and to stand for the people.
Well, going back to what you said earlier, though, I intend to recircle this entire wagon and create the statement of fact filings that
right.
need to
and
go.
And I know you will.
And,
I know we've
and
been talking about that.
And they need to be
that.
In place with everything that I already have. But I do see the need for those statement of fact filings, and I will get those in place, and then I'll start pushing the buttons.
Yep. Because what we need to do is
because
we
I
need
agree
how
with that, with
we
that
need to
concept.
Change. We need to get back to our constitutional rights. And now I have Tina on as well, so stand with us now, if you would like. We're going to talk a little bit about, because it is only an hour show tonight, and boy, oh boy, that's going to fly right by. It's 8:43 now. So the Senate on Friday passed the Senate Bill 252. It's a criminal justice reform bill designed to reduce pretrial incarceration costs and allow those accused of nonviolent crimes to return to jobs and family. There's nearly 80% of the women who are in jail are mothers and the primary caretakers of their children, is what Steele said. And Chris Steele is Oklahomans for Criminal Justice Reform Executive Director, and said State Bill 252 would put an end to unconstitutional detainment. And, quote, it eliminates the practice of a debtor's prison, which has been determined unconstitutional in the United States, Steele says. And yet we do know. We do know that despite the fact that it's unconstitutional, Oklahoma has maintained debtors' prisons to full capacity. Otherwise, they get the private prisons, they've turned the private prisons into debtors' prisons. Steele goes on to say, we think this measure also helps strengthen families. He says most jails don't allow child visits or contact with their family, and that just adds more destruction to a situation. Tina, Tina, who was the warrior to start off to get that rally, wrongful convictions, going in March this past year, is with us now. Many of you have heard her story, and Tina has become a very forceful, a very big part of making what's wrong right in Oklahoma, and she's quiet. But don't you dare take that for a week. So with that being said, Tina, thanks for coming on. So what do you know about this bill?
Well, it's about, I mean, it's good that they're trying to do reform and changing things that are unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me wonder if everybody can just sue the state because they've done it for so long. But
right.
I have issues because, you know, they say because of women. Well, there's plenty
right.
of men who are caregivers to their children, and they lose their jobs too. So it's not,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all who they want to appease, I guess, is why they're doing it. I think it's
correct.
Good, though. If it is a nonviolent offense, there's no reason for them to be in there. But chances of everybody showing back up to court is pretty slim, I think.
So do you think it should be more of a case-by-case situation? You know, it says, it also says, this is by what Steele says, Senate bill eliminates the pretrial detention for individuals with misdemeanor charges and nonviolent felonies, allowing individuals that are no threat to public safety to return to their families, according to the organization. This bill will continue to preserve the court's ability to detain individuals deemed threats to the public safety.
Well, here's they keep talking about the nonviolent versus the violent, and I get it, but
mm-hmm.
at the same time, the ones that they're nonviolent for drugs or whatever they're there for, they're letting them back out to do more drugs, and then what's going to happen is that they're going to have to find a way to get their fix because not all of them have jobs. You know,
and that's if we're talking about a drug situation, and I know that, you know, you're very close to that because you're of your work, what you see as a pattern
mm-hmm.
of that works versus doesn't work, you know, people that are just going through the motions to get free again, and then they, you know,
right.
habitual offenders, they're back in.
Friday
in Tulsa, the new governor, Stitt, said he thought at the time it was wiser to focus on five other reforms for which there was broader support. He said, this is according to Tulsa World, he said Friday he supports State Bill 252, but thinks the more complete reform requires reworking of the criminal code and additional legislation next year. Well, I tend to agree, but I also am going to, you know, go out on a limb that I don't think is too weak by saying that Governor Stitt is disappointing those that had supported him. He's somebody that
mm-hmm.
came into office as a non-politician and had a very big say about what he would do with the criminal justice reform. And yet he doesn't seem to be necessarily responding to enough groups and people that supported him, and he seems to be lurking in the shadows. And I understand sitting back and seeing what's going on, but you better have been doing that when you were running for office to know what's going on, and you weren't afraid to go out and to get your votes by speaking up. So Governor Stitt, we need you to speak up now. We need you to come to the people that put you into office, and we're happy to see you here. We need you to come through for us, and not fall into the same pattern as Mary Fallon.
If his office would contact people back, that would mean so much to the citizens of the state. You know, just knowing that he's interested in what the people have to say.
But
the way it is now, it feels like, at least for me, and I know many others, the representatives don't care, the governor doesn't care what we have to say.
No, it's
a shame, because
yeah,
it's supposed
it
to be about the citizens, not the, not them sitting on their high horse, you know, just covering their own backs.
And we're all sitting there like, you know, like you put a carrot in front of us and we're chasing it. You know, some of the opposers of this bill, the SB 22 did draw some criticism, as Tulsa World says, and I'm not a huge fan of Tulsa World, but I will quote this because I think they are very selective and biased as well. I don't believe this is a criminal justice reform, said Senator Mark Allen. I believe it's criminal welfare. Well, what do you have to say about that?
criminal welfare. In a way,
right.
Yeah. I mean, there's no... Okay, there's a certain person who has been arrested for drugs and theft 4 or 5 times, and a post that they had on Facebook said, ha ha, just as I thought again, I'm free. I mean, they're making a big joke of it because she never goes to prison where she needs to be, because there's a lot more things that she needs to answer for other than what they're catching her for. But, you know, it's, we have
somebody. So there are a couple sides to this. There really are.
There is. I mean, if they're making a big joke of it, nobody's going to stop. If you're talking about drug use, I mean, everybody wants
Senator
to blame
Julie
the
Daniels.
Addiction.
Senator Julie Daniels, her opinion is she agreed that some people unintentionally end up sitting in a jail cell longer than they should, which should be addressed, and we do know that that is true. You know, we know Wilmoth Vince, that case. We know of other people, you know, that I'm not sure I would have that permission to bring up their names, so I won't. But she said at the same time, some people who are released are on their own recognizance commit more crimes before they return to court, she said. Senator Pro Tem Greg Tree said the bill was improved as it moved through the legislative process. So that's good to hear, because many times that we do find out that bills, you know, are going through the process and we think it's as it was proposed, and it winds up being torn apart and it's not improved. But according to Senate Pro Tem Greg Tree, which I've heard good things about him, that it was improved. So I want to believe that. But he said it's one of the more controversial pieces of criminal justice reform legislation. But the key is to put an end to unconstitutional detainment is the pro, you know.
Well, if it's unconstitutional, it should be unconstitutional for all. I don't see how it's unconstitutional for nonviolent. And I'm not saying let murderers run free. I get that. But how is it for one and not the other?
Right.
If it's unconstitutional.
And how about the ones that have been wrongfully charged, you know,
right,
for violent
right.
crimes?
They waste away for years trying to go to court. You
right.
know, lose their families, everything.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I have
As
somebody
know,
up in writing.
I've got
somebody I've been writing who didn't do, he has 4 witnesses as to what happened, and he's still being charged on a capital crime for something he didn't do. And he's just got to sit in jail and wait until his court date. That takes years. They're taking years of people's lives.
Right.
And
imagine
even the ones
if,
that
if these people have
violent.
Children. Children,
he's got 5 kids.
Five kids?
Five kids. I mean, so now you've got a mother left on her own to fend for five kids. And I even heard that after 10 years of being in prison, you know, people can live off the government from Social Security disability because they're deemed institutionalized. So even if they let these people out of prison, yeah, their numbers are going to go down, and you'll see the less money going towards prisons. But
mm-hmm.
then you've got the disability aspect where they're living off the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are the... Ooh.
Right. So this is really a quagmire. It's absolutely a quagmire. And, you know, we had other things that I wanted to bring up today, too, that have been uncovered. And I'll have to bring those up next week when we're back on again. Hopefully you can join us and we can get more in depth to this Senate Bill 252, along with some other subjects that will be coming forward that we didn't get to today.
Okay.
Yeah. So from the rally, you have made all sorts of contacts and had plenty of outreach and people that are contacting you and on board with, you know, coming forward with people know that you're serious. People know that we're serious. And and we just don't want to lose that momentum, and we want to have a very, very clear-cut method continue to go forward. And I really appreciate all the work that you're doing out there. It's just tremendous what you're doing.
Thank
you. You're very level-headed about things, and you're persistent and. So do you want to talk about anything with your personal situation?
We're still waiting to file the commutation, and now we found out that they're taking off on the application. They're going to be taking off the question about what you've done while you've been inside, all the certificates and the
They're taking that off?
Yes.
So that
doesn't
come
matter.
Into play for consideration of a commutation?
No. And a commutation supposed to be for, you know, a sentence that's too long. And if somebody has shown that they've corrected their behavior, the Department of Corrections, right?
Right.
Then they should be able to show that. But it's... Yeah, they're taking it off in June. So
they're making it more difficult now as opposed to correcting the problem. Am I reading this right?
Their reasoning is that they only want to see the sentence and the crime. So it doesn't matter if somebody has done nothing but good stuff since they've been in, and it doesn't matter if somebody's done nothing but bad stuff while they've been in.
So
they
the
can
commutation
do all
is
the
now
bad
being,
in the world and get out.
So it's being reduced to has somebody been excessively sentenced as opposed to what they've done right, how they changed, not to mention if they're innocent, but of course you can't say that when you're in front of the board because then they think that you haven't learned from your lessons. So, all right. Well, this is
to
be continued.
Well, it's supposed to be for an excessive, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's supposed to be for people who have excessive sentences. And if somebody has corrected their behavior, it's an excessive sentence, in my opinion.
Okay, I like that. I
but
agree.
But they're letting out people who aren't changing anything. They're letting them out.
All right, we're going to get into this more because I've got 60 seconds right now to close out tonight's show. And, boy, what a difference an extra half hour and an hour goes. But tonight we've just got a short show. So I want to thank you, Tina. Tina Gertz, I want to thank you, James Treat, for coming on. and talking about these issues that continue and what we're doing about them. And I want to thank our listeners, and hopefully you can call in next time. Thank you, Marty Oakley. Thank you, Stephen Burke. And this is Tanya Hathaway with Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told. Please follow us. Be engaged on Facebook, Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed on Facebook. Journeys to Justice as well. Please check out the Whistleblower Summit. Good night, everybody. Thank you for being here with us. Good night, Mom. I love you. Good night, all.